Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubos, the Daf Tzadi Ches. We begin on Tzadi Ches of Aleph, two lines from the top with the story. We begin, Hai Issa, the once was a woman, the Tofsa Kosa de Kaspa Biksubosa, that she grabbed the cup. Rashi explains in the Tofsa Kasa de Kaspa, Veloya Bo Shir Ksubosa, it was less than the value of a Ksuba, but she grabbed this cup while her husband was still alive to be in place of part of her Ksuba. Her husband Nebuch was sick and she wanted to grab the Metaltalin while her husband was alive. Even in the times of the Gemara, that was acceptable. So we've already pointed out multiple times. Today, we allow her to collect the ksuba even from metaltali. But in those days, they could only collect from metaltali if they took it while the husband was alive. So she grabbed this silver cup while her husband alive to pay for part of her ksuba. So now, Nebuch, the husband, passes away, and Kotova Mizoni. And now she wants to go take Mizonos from the estate, which she's entitled to if she hasn't yet grabbed her ksuba. If she grabbed the ksuba, that's the machlokes we had yesterday at the end of the shiur between the Chachamim, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, no, if she grabs even part of her ksuba, so then she's no longer entitled to mizonos. Whereas the Chacham says, as long as there's still some of her ksuba left, so then she's still entitled to mizonos. So in this situation, kotova mizoni, she says, I took only part of my ksuba here, therefore I'm still entitled to mizonos, like the opinion of the Chachamim, like Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim that we brought down yesterday's shiur. No, there was a machlokas, the Yisomim held otherwise, and they went to the Beis Din. Also, they went to Rava to adjudicate the din. Amal Huli Yasmi, so Rava tells the Yisomim, we paskin over here like the Chachamim, like Ramei's opinion, like the Chachamim's opinion, that if she hasn't yet grabbed her entire ksuba, so then you are mechuyavim to give her mizonos. So Zilu, hovel la mizonos, you have to go and give her the mizonos. Aye, you didn't tell me Rabbi Shimon? Less the chosh laha the Rabbi Shimon. We have nobody that follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. In other words, this is an opinion that's not brought down lehalacha. And the Shaar Mitzuyonim Ba'alacha says, why was he so strong? The less the chosh laha the Rabbi Shimon is to teach us that you might have thought, well, this is a machlokes. Some say the Yisomim would have to pay. Some say Yisomim don't have to pay. And maybe from Yisomim you wouldn't take al safek. So therefore, Rava came along very stark and he says, no, we don't hold for Rabbi Shimon at all. The Yomai, even though he holds that you would not be allowed to go collect mizonos if part of the ksuba was taken, lo amrina, mixas kesef, kikol kesef. We don't paskin like this, Rabbi Shimon from yesterday's shir, and therefore, the Yisomim would still be obligated to pay off the mizonos, even though part of the ksuba has been collected. Okay, Mark continues and says, Sholach le Rabba, bere de Rav le Rav Yosef, Rabba, who is the son of Rava, said to Rav Yosef, the following shiloh. If the woman is mocheres, shalom beveistin, the woman goes and sells off some of the property without going in front of a Beis Din to give her permission to do so. So now, she sold it. She did it in front of, as we pointed out, three experts, so there's no doubt as to she's getting rooked, so she didn't get rooked, but she didn't do it in front of a Beis Din. As we pointed out yesterday, if she needs it for mizonos, so then she can't wait till a Beis Din, you know, forms and officially goes and declares that she has the right to go sell this. It goes through the whole process of selling it in front of a Beis Din. So therefore, she needs a mizonos now, so she goes and sells this. So the question that they asked, Rabba Brei de Rava asked Rav Yosef, does she have to make a shvua? Tzricha shvua? Oh, ain't tzricha shvua. Would she have to go to the Yisomim, as Rashi says in tzricha shvua, shelo gov seyote? She had to go swear to them that she didn't take more than she was entitled to. That this field was sold, and it was sold for $100, and that's all it really was worth. And therefore, she's entitled to the full $100 for the mizonos, or to pay off even part of her ksuba. So the Gemara says, Rav Yosef answers back to Rabba Brei de Rava, why didn't you ask me a different question? There's a better question you could have asked. Viti boy loch hachraza. Why didn't you ask, was this sale done in a public fashion with a hachraza? In other words, why didn't you ask, did she go and try to sell this field publicly? And therefore, that would have been a better question. If she sold it publicly, so then there should be no need to make a shvua. And then your question would be, if she didn't sell it publicly, would you have to go and make a shvua or not? So you should have phrased your question in that way. That's what Rav Yosef tells Rabba Brei de Rava. But he responds, no, Amale, Hachraza lo komi boili. I never had a question about the Hachraza aspect, because the Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Nachman, because Rav Zeira already said in the name of Rav Nachman, that an Amona, a widow, Shishom Eliatzma, if she evaluated the field by herself, in other words, she asked the experts, is this the right amount of money? But it never was done in a public way. It never was done with a Hachraza. It never was done through a Beis Din. So then, lo osav lo klum. It's as if nothing happened. So therefore, I already know the answer about a hachraza. You have to do it in some way that if she's going and selling the field and taking it for herself, so there has to be some mechanism via which she can get it. And if it's not done in a public way, and she just said that I had three people evaluate it, that's what it's worth, and now I took the field for myself, then lo asav lo klum. So Rav Zeira Amar Nachman said, in that situation, nothing happened, and the Yisomim can go take that field back. As Rashi says in Diva Maskel, also lo klum. The imrotzu ayisomim lahagbosa mos. If the yisomim want to give her money instead of that field, liachas money after some period of time, chosin the note lenosa. They have the right to go take it from her and go and give her the money instead, because there was no formal mechanism by which this field comes into her possession, because it wasn't done with a hachraza. So Rabba Berei de Rabba said, I already knew the answer to the question about the hachraza, and therefore I'm asking, tzricha shvua o ein tzricha shvua? Hey, Chidami, what exactly is going on over here? So the Gemara says, the achruz, if we're talking about a situation where she did make a public auction, the achruz, they publicly announced that this field's for sale and that she took the highest buyer, and therefore there can't be any shilas about this. So then, why would you say over here, am I low asus or low klum? So obviously, it can't be talking about a case where she did an achruz, where she did an announcement, the public auction, because it certainly would have been valid in that situation. So obviously, since it says lo asa lo klum el olav, wasn't we be talking about the lo achruz? That she didn't make any sort of any public announcement. She just evaluated it alone with three people. Uli atzma hu de lo asa lo klum, and therefore only when she keeps it for herself, there's no mechanism by which this went from the Yisomim to her, because she just kept it. So there was no official way that it went from the Yisomim to her, and therefore, as Rashi pointed out, if the Yisomim wished to, they could give her money and take back the field. But if she sold it to somebody else, holy acher, so then, masha asasa asasa. In fact, what she did is a valid sale. And therefore, this shows that the widow, the almana, doesn't have to go do an achraza. She can sell this without making achraza. She can sell off her husband, the late husband's property. Where it says, lav dafka. Leolom the achraz. In fact, you could say that Rav Zeira is talking about where she did make a achraza. Aye, or the omrei lo, and that we said to her, Man Sham Lech, and we said, well, who exactly did this evaluation for you of this property? Ki Hai, and it's like the following halacha. What's the following story? Thou Gaber, the once was a man, the Afkidu Gabe, that some orphans had given him a certain item called here Kisisa. Rashi tells us that if the gear says Kisisa, it means Mispo, which means animal food. However, he says Loshan Acher is Kisita. Garas, and not the yud at the beginning of the word after the chaf, but it's after the samach as well. So kisita, and that is, Rashi says, means something called coral. So atzi almogim, it's wood made from almogim, which is coral. So this is either animal fodder or coral that was deposited by this person, the asme, who the yosomim owed money to him. The estate owed money to him. So he kept it for himself. He evaluated this animal food or this coral to be worth 400 zuz, which let's say was the amount that the estate had owed him. And he kept it for himself. Now, at that point in time, it was worth 400. But subsequently, over the next coming months, the prices went up. So either this mispo, this animal food, or this coral went up in kombashish meya. Now it's almost went up in half again. It's now worth 600 instead of 400. No, the Yisrael would say, hey, that extra 200 is ours. You're only entitled to 400. So also, kind of the Rav Ami, they went to Rav Ami to adjudicate the case, and Rav Ami told them, Amalei, man shomloch. This person who had the 400 of the mispo, the food, or the coral in his possession, how did it get to your possession? You never evaluated, you never did a public hachraza on this, that it was able to go from the Yisrael to you. You just grabbed it, just like the widow, she just grabbed it, and it didn't have a mechanism via which to go to you. And therefore, it's lo asa lo klum. It's as if nothing happened over here, and Rav Ami told him, you have to go and give back to the orphans this item. Okay, they owe you $400, but you have to give them back the 600 and then take 400 from it. How do we paskin? Do we paskin like this statement or not? So where it says, no. Hilchasa, the halach is as follows. The hilchasa, tzricha shvua, the widow, the almana, has to in fact go make a shvua that she didn't, as Rashi says, shelo govsa yosi, she didn't take more than she was entitled to. However, the ino tzricha achroza, even if she's selling it for herself, she's keeping it for herself, she doesn't have to go and make a public announcement. This private deal, so to say, that she just grabbed it and kept it for herself, as long as it was fair, that's what it was actually worth. So then she's allowed to keep it. She doesn't have to do this in a public way in order to make sure that she's getting the best deal for this property, as long as we know that it was a fair deal, it was evaluated, so it's worth this amount, so she can keep it for herself. And similarly, in this case, where the Baal Chov of the Yisomim had the 400 of animal fodder or the 400 of coral wood, so then in this situation, if it went up to 600, so this was his, so the extra 200 would be his profit. Okay, we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Almana Shaisa Kesubasu Masayim. This Mishnah is going to be broken up into several sections. And we start off with the first section, where the woman has a regular Kesubah of Masayim. Let's keep it nice and simple. There's no Tosefes Kesubah. Others say the same thing would apply if there was Tosefes Kesubah. Others say no, Tosefes Kesubah were different. So let's keep it nice and simple. We're dealing here with an Almana that has a Kesubah that is Masayim. Normally, a Basula, when she was married, she has the Ksuba of Masayim. So now she's an Amon, and now she lost her husband, so she has the Ksuba of Masayim. Regular case of a regular Ksuba. Umachra Shav Amona b'Masayim. She was a very shrewd dealer of real estate, and she sold the property from the estate that was only worth 100 zuz, one mana, and she sold it for Masayim, for 200 zuz, for two mana. In other words, she only took from the estate something that was worth 100 zuz, but she was able to get it in selling it 200 zuz. So who gets the profit? She sold something that the estate only lost 100, she got 200. It's considered that she got 100 of her ksuba and she still owed another 100, or do we say, no, she got the 200 and she sold it and fartik, and the assomer get the benefit. So the Mishnah says, likewise, if it was the reverse case, she sold something, Oshavu Masayim, she sold something worth 200, she's not such a shrewd real estate dealer, and she only sold it for 100, b'manim. B'manim is 100 zuz. So the property was worth 200. She caused the estate a loss of 200, but she only got 100 for it. So, can she tiny? You still owe me another 100. So the conclusion of the ratio of the Mishnah is, Niskablo Ksubos. In both cases, she's considered having gotten a ksuba. In the second case, it's obvious. She took something worth 200. No, she made a bad deal. She only got 100 for it, so that's pretty easy to understand why we say that she got her entire ksuba of 200. The first case, we'll have to explain that when she sold something that was only worth 100 and she got 200 for it, nevertheless, it's as if the estate paid her off her full ksuba of 200. We'll explain that in the Gemara. That's the ratio of the Mishnah. Now we have the Mitziyusa, the middle part of the Mishnah, where here we have Haisa Ksubas Amana. She only had a ksuba of 100. Let's say she was an Amana when she went into this marriage. She only had a ksuba of 100. Umachra, and she sells Shavimana Vidinar Bimana. Now, right now, we'll understand this simple, that she sold a property from the estate that was worth a mana, which is 100 zuzim, and a dinar, and one more dinar. A dinar and a zuz are the same thing, so we can just simply say she sold the property that was worth $101, 101 dinar, or 101 zuz. She sold it for b'mana, for 100. Now, the Gemara will have various different understandings of this. Let's keep it nice and simple for now. So right now we're saying she sold the property that was worth 101. She wasn't entitled to a property of 101. She's only entitled to a property of 100. She sold it for 100. So, michra bato. So the Mishnah says this sale is not good. It's null and void. It's botla. Why is that? Because she had no right to sell it. And furthermore, even if she were to say, afilu hiomeres, even if she would say, listen, I sold something that was worth 101, I'll give you back a dollar. I'll give you back one dinar. Azir dinar liyarshin, I'll give you back. So listen, I'll only get 99, but I'm happy. And you'll get your $1 back. So you basically only lose 100 from the estate. $100, 100 zuz, 100 dinar from the estate, so everybody should be happy. So nevertheless, the Tanakhama says, michru batel. She doesn't have the right to do this. We'll explain why in the Gemara. However, Rav Shimon Galil disagrees. Rav Shimon Galil Omer, he says, li'ola michru kayim. He says that her sale is a valid sale over here. And we'll have to understand why this is when we get to the Gemara. The only time it's not a valid sale, he says, is if if there is in what she sold that when you're selling something that's worth 101, and you're selling it, so you're only entitled to 100, that little small amount, we can say basically is, you know, bottle. You have to give back the dollar, but you're not losing any land. It's not a significant piece of land, a piece of land that's worth a deed. It's a very small plot. It's a, you know, a foot by a foot. You can't do anything with that, so therefore you get the dollar for it, so it's fine. However, if the plot that she sold, that's above and beyond the ksuba, so let's say she sold something that was 120, now there's 20 extra, so the orphans, the estate, they don't want to have $20. They'd rather have a plot of land that was worth 20. So Rabbi Shimon Galil says, if they left behind, in other words, they oversold, the woman oversold this plot of land. She was only entitled to 100 of it, and she oversold it so much that that piece that was above and beyond the ksuba would be the size of a significant field, which is defined as, in a field, besada bast tisha kabin, a field that you could plant in it 9 kavs worth of grain, and then you'll have a much bigger yield, obviously. So if the field is that size, it's tisha kabin, a kav, there's 6 kav in a saw, so this is 1.5 saw. A saw, a field that's a saw, is considered 2,500 square amos. So this would be a half again as large. It's 3 more kavin. So this would be 3,750 square amos. If there is enough land beyond and above what her ksuba was worth, that there's still a plot of land that would have this 1.5 saw square amos planted in it, the tisha kavin, so then that sale is null and void, even according to Shem Gamaliel. He says in that situation, there is a significant piece of land that was sold above and beyond. If it's only 101, so then that's nothing significant. That one extra din is worth of land is an insignificant amount. But if it could be a field that you could plant tisha kavin in, a 3,750 square amma type of a field, so then that's considered significant. That's when you're dealing with fields. What's considered when you're dealing with a garden? Ubegina, in regards to a garden, the garden isn't only where they would plant vegetables, so the field would be where they would plant grain. So in a garden, a smaller field is considered significant. Bas chatzi kav. If you could plant a half a kav's worth of vegetables in that field, in other words, you plant a half a kav, you expect to get a much bigger yield from that planting a half a kav. So in that situation, that's considered a significant shiur, a significant amount that was left over, and therefore the sale would be mikra batel, even according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Now this is an opinion that's brought down in the Gemara in Bava Basra, what's considered a significant amount. Rabbi Akiva disagrees with that. Uchad Rabbi Akiva, according to Vinny Rabbi Akiva, a significant amount would be a base rova for a gina. That is a smaller amount, only a quarter of a kav, and not a half of a kav. So he would say that even a smaller field is considered significant. In any event, Rav Shimon Gamliel says that 101 for 100, that's not considered significant, and that deal will go through. We wouldn't say michra batel. But if you left over a significant amount of a garden, whether it's Rabbi Akiva's opinion of a quarter of a kav, the opinion of Tanakam of a half a kav, or in a field, it's tisha kabin's worth of a ground, so then that would be michra batel. That's the MCUs of the Mishnah. Now we have the seif of the Mishnah. If a ksuba was 400 zuz, let's say, for example, we brought down earlier that in some places they would give to the bas kohen, they would give a much larger ksuba. Okay, lav dafka, doesn't have to be a bas kohen, it could be anybody, that the ksuba is worth 400 zuz. And now, umichra lezeh bimone, filazeh bimone, and it really should say filazeh bimone. So she sells off three separate fields from the estate to go get her 400 zuz. So the first one she sells for a mana, second one she sells for a mana, and there's a third one that she sells for a mana as well, for la achwin, and the fourth one to get the final 100 of her 400, there she sells yofe mana v'dinar b'mana. There she sells a field that's 101 in value for only 100. Again, that's a simple way to understand this. We'll see that there are other ways to understand this when we get to the Gemara. So in this situation, the first three are good. The first three are perfectly good. Because there was still left over in the estate for her to gather, so there's no problem. Those are all good. But the last one, where there's nothing left in the estate, when she sold something that's more than the remainder of her ksuba, so the Tana holds, in that situation, the last one, the sale is no good. Okay, we said a lot over here in the Mishnah, the three parts of the Mishnah, and now let's start off with the Gemara. Gemara starts off and says, Maishna, why is the difference between Shav and Masai and Bimaneh? We said in the first part of the Mishnah that if the woman wasn't very shrewd at real estate and she sold the field that was worth 200 for 100, we said the deal goes through. Why is that? Because the army law, we say to her, At Isarata, you caused the loss. There was a 200 zuz field. You shouldn't have sold it for 100 zuz. So it's your problem. You're considered to have gotten paid your entire amount. However, why don't we say the same applicability, why don't we say the same rule, when she sold the field that was worth only 100, Shavimon, but Masayim, we should say the same thing, Nami, we should say, Tema, listen, you're a very shrewd real estate lady, Ana Arvachna, and therefore, she should be able to say to them, listen, I was the one that made this profit. The estate was only worth $100, this field. So I happened to sell it for $200. Why should you get that benefit? I should get the benefit. Just like in the case where we said if she wasn't astute, she sold the $200 field for $100. She's considered she got her entire $200 because it was her loss. So why shouldn't we say it was her gain when she sold the field for $100 for $200 and the state should still owe her another $100? So that's the question the Gemara asks. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravua. So Rav Nachman says the name of Rav Ravua, and we turn to Tzadi Ches Omud Beis. This difference over here is based upon what Rebbe taught us. Kan Shona Rebbe. Rebbe used our Mishnah over here. As Rashi says, B'Mishnah Seinu. Our Mishnah, Lamadnu Rebbe. Rebbe taught this din to resolve a machlokas between Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Yossi elsewhere as to how we paskin. And Rebbe was Stam our Mishnah over here, like the opinion of Yossi that we're about to learn, which is Hakol Lebal Hamos, that the one who sends the money, he sends the shaliach to go buy something for him, so any benefit that comes through that sale of the shaliach automatically goes to the Baal, the one who sent them with the money, and not to the shaliach. And this was a machlokas kidatani, like we learned in the following brisa. Our Gemara says that this brisa, as you can see in Rashi, in Tira Maslow Sivlo Achas Yisera, says this is a Tosefta in Meseches Demai. And if you look at the Mesorah Sashas, he said he couldn't find it there. Tofasti, the Mesos HaShas says, Lo Mitzasi, but if you look in the Osalik, in the Agos Bach, he says, it's actually not a Tosefta in the Mai, but it's actually a Medrash on Parsha Shmini. In any event, this Brisa states as follows. Hosifo lo achas yisera. So if somebody went to go and buy something, Reuven sends Shimon to buy something for him, and Shimon goes and purchases it from Levi, the thing that he was asked to do. But hosifo lo achas yisera. He was given one item more than he had actually purchased. So the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is hakol la-shaliach. The Rabbi Yehuda, the shaliach gets it. So Shimon in this situation, so he bought what Reuven had told him from Levi, and Levi had given him an extra item, so Shimon gets to keep it. Reuven doesn't get the benefit. This is considered like a benefit, a tip, if you wish, to Shimon from the owner that he bought it from Levi. It doesn't go to Reuven, it goes to Shimon. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi Omer Cholkin. No, they split this tip. This tip isn't really a tip for Shimon. We don't know who it goes to, as Rashi says. We're not sure who it really belongs to. Did Levi give it with the intention that it should be a tip to Shimon? Or did he say, listen, I want to thank Reuven for buying for me, so I threw in a little extra, right? You go to a bakery and you buy a pound of cookies, so they give you a couple extra cookies. So thank you for buying it. So therefore, Rav Yossi says, we're not sure. Should it go to Shimon or should it go to Reuven? Cholkin. And we split it. Aye, then it says in another Brisa of Tanya, Rav Yossi Omer, Hakol Bala Mos, and this is the opinion that we're following over here, that we said that Rebbe Paskin like, that everything goes to the Bala Mos, the one who sent the money. In other words, Reuven gets the whole thing. So first we have to explain, there seems to be a steer in Rav Yossi. In one place, Rav Yossi says that Reuven and Shimon would split it. And the other place, Reuven gets it all. So there's a steer in Rabbi Yossi. So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Rachama, Rabbi Rachama explains, it's not a steer, lo kasha. In the situation, Kan Bidover Sheish Lo Kitzwa, in the situation where it's something that is sold for a very set amount, yesh lo kitzva, as Rashi says in the Ramasu sheish lo kitzva, can go in kitnitz. For example, beans, hanimkar bechonos b'mida mole kli b'pruta. This is something that has a very set and established price. You buy a kli's worth, a certain utensil's worth of kitnitz for a pruta. So in this situation, im hosifu achas yisera, if the person who was selling the kitnitz gave you an extra kli's worth, so then, Cholkin, because the Matanava is clearly a present, there's no doubt as to the price, it's a penny for each kli's worth, and you gave him 10 pennies, and he gave you 11 kli's. So it's unclear, this Matana, this extra kli that he gave you, Yeshlamar l'shuliach nifta, it was a tip to Shimon, who was the one who purchased it, or maybe not, Yeshlamar l'bal mos nosna, he was giving it to Reuven for thanking him for buying it. So we're not sure in that situation. So when something has a very specific set amount, yesh lo kitzva, like the kitnis, so then Rav Yossi says chokin. However, kam bedovish ain lo kitzva, if it's something that doesn't have kitzva, Rashi says the next diba maskel dovish ain lo kitzva, kigon talis, for example, a cloak of some sort, a choluk, a shirt of some sort, or vierik, or other vegetables, hanim karim ba'omet, that they're sold with an estimation. So pa'amim mevate limko bezol, pa'amim mitzimtsu. Sometimes he'll be a little more generous, sometimes he'll be a little more tight, and therefore, Hakol lebalamos. In this situation, it's not a tip to Shimon. It's definitely going back to the one who sent Shimon, Reuven. Shein kamatana. This is in the present. Elamecha. This is part of the deal. So if something doesn't have a set price, that's when Rav Yossi says it goes to the Baal Hamos. So Rebbe learned out from our Mishnah here that this woman is functioning basically as a shliach for something that doesn't have a set amount price. This field could be purchased a little bit more, a little bit less, and therefore, when she sold it, whether she sold 200 for 100 or she sold 100 for 200, it all goes to the Baal Hamos. And therefore, in this situation, Rabbi showed from our Mishnah that we paskin over here that Stam Mishnah is in accord with this principle of Yossi, Hakol LeBaal Hamos. How do we paskin? Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, Hilchasa, yes, we paskin exactly like this. Dovish Yesh Lo Kitzva, if something has a set amount like the kidneys, Cholkin, then we paskin like Rav Yossi that says we split it between Reuven and Shimon, the one who sent him to purchase it, as well as Shimon, the one who actually purchased it. However, Dovish Yesh Lo Kitzva, something that doesn't have a set price, so then Hakol, Lebal, Hamos, then it goes all to Reuven. Nudigmar says, isn't that what Rami Bechama just said? Michael Mashla, what is Rav Papa adding to tell us that the Halach is like Rami Bechama? So Gemara says, that's exactly it. Shinuya, the Shaninun, Shinuya. He's telling us that Rami Bechama is correct. This was a teretz that Rami Bechama gave. Maybe it's not correct, or maybe we don't pass like that. So Rav Papa is coming along to tell us that the Halach is exactly like what Rami Bechama said. Now the Gemara continues and asks the following shaila. Ibalu, they ask in the Beis Medrash the following shaila. Now we're going to learn this shaila this way until the end of today's shiur, and then tomorrow's shiur we're going to start off with an Ika Diamre, another way to learn the shaila. So just keep that in mind, but right now we're learning it the first way. They ask the following shaila. Ibalu, Amale, if someone told his shaliach, Ruvain tells his shaliach Shimon, do me a favor, Zabin li Lischa, go and sell one of my fields that is a lesech. Now, a lesech is a half of a kor. A kor is 30 saw. Rashi tells us this is base chatzi kor. A lesech therefore was 15 saw. So it's a certain size field. So Reuven had told Shimon, go and sell me over here, Zaben li Lischa, sell me one of my fields that is only 15 saw, a half of a kor. And what did he do? Shaliach Shimon went, va'azal v'zaben le'kura. He sold him an entire field that was a full kor, 30 saw field, twice as large. So what's the halacha? My, what are the two possibilities, the two sides of the coin over here? Do we say that when Shimon went and sold the extra 15 saw, the extra half kor, the second lesech, so then, in that situation, he's mosif al dvarufu. He's adding on to what he was instructed to do. So the first sale, vilischa, the first 15 saw, half of a kor, miyokani, that's a valid sale. And the second half of the field, that Reuven can go and retract that. He can go take it back from the buyer because he says, that I never authorized the seller to do. So the first possibility is that in the situation where he sold twice as much as he was supposed to, that the first part that he sold, that was valid, and the second part that he sold, that's not valid. Or maybe not. Odilmo, do we say, this is what they asked in the base medrash, do we say, ma'vir al dvarvu? No, he didn't do what he was asked to do. And therefore, even the first lesach, even the first 15 saw, v'lischa nami lo kani. Even the first 15 isn't sold, because he didn't tell him to sell a kor, he told him to sell a lesach. So when he sells a kor, even though that includes within it a lesach and another lesach, two lesachs, nevertheless, that's not what he was asked to do. And therefore, nothing is there. And the person who sold it, Reuven, who asked the shliach to sell it, Shimon, to sell it on his behalf, Reuven's allowed to get back both lesachs, not only the second lesach, everybody agrees to that, but even getting back the first lesach. That's the question that they asked in the base medrash. So, Omer Rav Yaakov bin Nahar Pekod. So, Rav Yaakov, who came from a city in Babel known as Nahar Pekod, he said the answer, Mishmei de Ravina, in the name of Ravina. And he said, Toshma, I'll show you from the following Mishnah. This is a Mishnah Me'ila. And the Mishnah there tells us, in regards to a din of Me'ila. The din of Me'ila is that if somebody usurps something that belongs to Hekdesh, unknowingly, unwittingly, so then you have to bring the principal, you have to pay back the principal to Hekdesh, you have to add on a Chomesh, which is a fifth from the outside, which is a fourth from the inside. So let's say you were mauled on $100, so you have to go and add 25. Now, the 25 is one-fifth of 125, but it's a quarter of 100, and plus you have to bring a carbon me'ila. That's the din of me'ila. So if you, by accident, unwittingly, took something that belonged to Hekdesh and got hanah from it or used it in some way, with all the din of me'ila, so then you have to go and be paying this principal, the fifth, as well as a carbon me'ila. Now, who has to pay? So in this situation, we have the following scenario. It says, Amar balabais l'shlucho, Reuven tells to a shliach, listen, we have a bunch of people coming to the house as guests. Tein lahem chaticha liorchen. Go and give everybody a piece of chicken. Okay? Now, unbeknownst to him, or to the shaliach, or to the guests, this was actually a Hekdesh chicken. This was all food that had been designated for Hekdesh. Okay, not a carbon. It belongs to Hekdesh. The guy donated 10 chickens to Hekdesh. And now, it belongs to Hekdesh. And instead, the person who owns the chickens, the guy that owns the house, the balabayis, he told Shimon, the shaliach, go give the guests over here, Levi Yehuda, Don Naftali, go give them some chickens. Now, he told them, Tein lehem chaticha l'yorchen. Now, if he only told them to take one chaticha to each guest, and Shimon did exactly what he was told, and he gave one chaticha to each guest, and the guests each took one chaticha, so then the halach is clear that Reuven would be the one that would be over me'ila. If a shaliach does what he was asked to do, so the shliach isn't held accountable, the person who was given it to isn't held accountable, but Reuven is considered the one that was moel. But what happened over here? Reuven told Shimon, give them each one piece. But Shimon said, everybody take two pieces. My own is a very generous guy. If anybody wants more, everybody take a second piece. No, they were hungry. And they each took three. So in this situation, the Mishnah in Mila says, kulon moalu. Everybody was moel. The guy who gave them the first piece inadvertently, as Rashi says, they only found out afterwards that it belonged to Hekdesh. right? They didn't know this at the time. Subsequently, they found out that it belonged to Hekdesh. So in this situation, they are all going to be Mol. The Shliach is Mol on the second piece. The people that ate it are Mol on the third piece. And as I said before, the owner, when he gives his piece and the Shliach followed along, everybody did what they were supposed to, so he's considered Mol. Now, Rav Yaakov Minhar Pekod said, over name Ravina, let's analyze this Mishnah and get to the answer to our question. When the Shliach sold an entire core to Lesechs, do we say that the deal goes through for the first Lesech, but not for the second Lesech? We say it doesn't even go through for the first Lesech. So, Iyamis Mishlom Mosef Advar Vavi, if you tell me that he's just adding on. So, in this situation, when the owner of the chickens, in my case, said, take one piece, and Reuven said to Shimon, take, give them each one piece, and Shimon gave them each a second piece, and they each took a third piece, so then everybody's Mosif Advarv. So therefore, we understand, Mishum Hachi Balabai Smol on the first piece, the Shalich Smol on the second piece, and the people that are eating the chicken, they're all on the third piece. Similarly, in the case where the Shaliach sold one field for a lesser's worth field, and then he sold the second field for a lesser, or he sold it all together as a core, so the first half of the core was sold legitimately, and the second half is not. Oh, so that's a raya, that the deal goes through. The Yisroelim don't have the right to get back the first lesach, they only have the right to get back the second lesach. Oh, that's the raya of Yaakov in Arapakot, said over the name of Ravina from the Mishnah Me'ilah. However, if you're going to tell me, Eli Yamris, Mavrel Dvarav Hevi, no, he changed around. When the person sold the entire Coors field and didn't sell a lesach as he was instructed, so even though the Coors has two lesachs in it, even the first lesach retracts and goes back. So if that's the case, so then why would we say over here the Balabai Samal? He told them to give one piece of chicken to everybody, and Shimon the Shliach gave two pieces of chicken. So it should be as if the Balabai didn't do anything. I bought none, but we said HaShliach saw Shechuso, Balabai Samal, lost Shechuso, Shliach Mal. So in this situation, if you're telling me that he didn't do what the person sent him to do, if Shimon gave two pieces when he was only instructed to do one, so then why is Ruvein Mal? So Rav Yaakov in Harpa Kod wants to bring down the name of Ravina. You see from over here that the first part of the deal goes through, even though that's not what he asked them to do. He asked them to do a lesach, in our case, and not a core, but he did the core. So the first part, the lesach, goes through. The second lesach doesn't go through. Or says, Lav Davka, this isn't a good writer. Rav Yaakov in Harpa Kod brings down the name Ravina. Why not? Because Hachem Ayaskin, you know what we're talking about over here? He said, B'Teirish, D'Yom Elohu, T'lu Achas Midato Shabal Abayis. The Shaliach told the guests, so Shimon told the guests, one piece over here, I'm following what the owner said. Reuven said, I could give you one piece of chicken. But you know what? I know he's a nice guy, and he doesn't want you to go home hungry. So I'm giving you the second piece on my own. And they said, well, we know you're both nice guys. We're really hungry, so we can take the third piece as well. So therefore, everybody is doing exactly what they were asked to do. Reuven told Shimon, and Shimon did exactly what he said. And then, as a totally separate deal, he went and added on. So that's why Reuven is Mal and Shimon's Mal. And they did a totally separate act of taking the third piece, so that's why they are Mal. So we have no raya from the case in Me'ilah, the Mishnah Me'ilah, as to what the din would be in our case. Try again. Toshma. We have the following scenario. Our Mishnah said, in the Emtziusa, Haisok Subasa Mona, if she had a ksuba that's worth a mona. Okay? She wasn't an amana when she got married, so the ksuba is only worth a mona. Umachra shava mona v'dinar, and she sold a piece of land that was worth more than a ksuba. It was worth 101 zuz, 101 dinar, $101. B'mona, and she, now again, on the surface, was saying, she got for it a mona. What does that mean, she got for it a mona? And I translated in the Mishnah, I said she got only 100 for it. Now we're going to see another way to read that. In this situation, we said in the Mishnah, michra batel, it's null and void. The sale doesn't go through. Why not? So Gemara wants to say, this is a raya to our case over here with the Shaliach selling an entire core instead of the lesach he was instructed to. My love, isn't our Mishnah talking about the zabin shove mona v'dinar, the widow sold a field that was worth 101, amon 100, dinar 1. So 101 field, bimone vidinar. And she sold it for 101, not for 100. She sold it for 101. I said in the Mishnah, mona, umay bimone. What does it mean when I said mona? It meant the mona for her, mona shalah. And the extra one of the 101, she'll give back to the yisomim, to the estate. Aye. Then what does it mean when he says, umay afilu, hi omeres achzir sadina liyarshim? That won't work. So what does that mean in the Mishnah? When the Tana in the Mishnah said, no, it's still no good. So what does it mean? Umayafilu, even according to the Tanakhama, if she had said, Afilu Hiomeris, if she had said, Achsiris Adina Liorshim, not a dollar, but I'll actually give them Bedina Mikarkoi. I sold the field for 101, because that's the way the guy wanted to buy it. But now he'll let me buy it back. One dinar's worth, he'll let me buy back, and I'll return that one dinar's worth to you. So you saw me, you haven't lost anything. You're getting exactly what you're supposed to. You basically sold a field that's worth 100, and you're retaining one piece of that field that was worth one zuz, because I sold 101, but I gave you back one piece of the field. Uktani, and nevertheless, what did the Mishnah say? Nevertheless, Michra Batel. So you clearly see over here that when the Shaliach does something that he wasn't asked to do, we totally invalidate the deal. So therefore, when Shimon sold an entire kor and not a lesech, so we say even the first lesech goes back. So that's what we want to bring as a raya. But Amar Rav Huna, Breder of Nosson, he says, lo, that's not correct. You know what we're talking about over here? In the MCUs of the Mishnah, the Ozil, we're talking about, no, she only got 100 for the field that was worth 101. That's the way I explained it originally. And that's the way we're now saying is actually what happened. She sold the field that was worth 101, and she sold it for 100. But Taka, if she sold it for 101, then she'd be entitled to go and give back the one, and everything would be fine and good, because she followed her instructions. But here, she didn't follow her instructions. She sold more than she was allowed to, and therefore, the shaliach can say, the yesomim can basically say, I didn't send you to be a bad shaliach. If you're functioning as a shaliach, so then you have to function properly. But if you're functioning incorrectly, the whole deal is null and void. But you can't bring me a raya in the case of the shaliach selling a lesech. He was told to sell a lesech, and he sells an entire kor. No, he therefore did what he was supposed to do for the lesech. Here, she didn't do what she was supposed to do. She was supposed to sell 101 for 101. She wasn't allowed to sell it for 100. And therefore, this case is different than the case of the guy, Shimon, selling a kor's worth instead of a lesech. You can't bring Miraya that the whole deal is off. Maybe, in fact, the lesech is good. Maybe, in fact, the first lesech is not good. So you don't have a raya, according to Rav Huna, Breder of Nosson. Mora says, that's great, but we already know that. Ha'ami the sefer, bid the Ozil. The third case of the Mishnah, the sefer of the Mishnah, was talking about a case where the field wasn't sold for the right amount. That was the woman who was in Amana with a ksuba of 400. She sold the first one for 100, second one for 100, the third one for 100, and the fourth one, she sold the 101 for 100. And we said only the fourth one goes back. Now, in that case, if that's the one that goes back, so our Seifa of the Mishnah is teaching us the Ozil, she didn't sell for the right price. It doesn't make sense to say that the MCUSA is also teaching us the same thing, the low Ozil. So it must be that the Seifa, the Ktani Seifa, he sucks with us Arba Meozuz, Marchu Zemonel, 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 Lach, when you offer Monev Dinar Bimone, and the last one, she sold the field 101 for 100, in that case it goes back, Shal Achu Michu Botel. But the other three, Vishokula and Michu and Kayim, because she sold them properly. So it doesn't make sense to say that MCUSA is teaching them the same thing, that she sold the field for 101 for 100. It must be that she sold the field for 101 for 101. So Mora says, no, that's also incorrect. Lo. In fact, Reisha V'Seifa means the MCUSA and the Seifa. The second part of the Mishnah and the third part of the Mishnah are both talking about Bida Ozo, when she sold the field for 101 for 100. The second part was when she just sold, she had only a monik suba, and she sold the field for 101 for 100. And the Seifa is talking about when she sold the fourth and final part of her suba for 400. She sold that last one for 101 for 100. Aye, why do you need both cases? The Seifa, Kamash one. The Seifa, the Chiddush is the Taima the Ozo be the Yasme. That's because who's losing out when she sells that last field, 101 for 100? The Yisomim are losing out. But if it was any of the first three, Avo B'didah, if she sold any of the first three, 101 for 100, so then the deal goes through because she still collects more. So she'll now have to deduct 101 from what she's taken, not 100, but the deal would go through. So the Chiddush is that only it's the last one where the Yisomim are at a loss that we don't say 101 for 100 is a valid deal. But the first, second, or the third one, if she sold 101 for 100, that would be Avo B'didah Michra Kayam. So that's how Rav Huna would say that there's a Chiddush in the Sefer versus the MCUSA. Where it says, lo, no, not necessarily so. Hami D'Reisha Shamis Minah, that which we said, that if the woman cheats herself, so to say, we already know that from the very beginning of the Mishnah. It said over there, Ha'isuk Subasa Basayim, the woman had a ksuba of 200, and she's not very good at real estate, at least in the second part of the Reisha. So the first part of the Reisha was very good real estate. Oh, Shava she sold Mochor Shava Mana B'Masayim. Or the second part, where she wasn't so good in real estate, in the second part of the Reisha, or Shava B'Masayim B'Mana, we said in that situation, this Kabla K'subasa. So even though she made a mistake, she sold something that's worth 200 and she only got 100 for it, the deal goes through. So we already know that when she makes a mistake that hurts her, the deal goes through. So why would I need the Seifa to teach us that din as well? So Rav Huna says, no, we need it. There's three chedushim over here that you need the Reisha, the Emtziusa, and the Sefer for. Because I would have said, Ma, the Tema, if I only had the Reisha of the Mishnah, I would have said, Hasum hu, distalko lo mehai beiso legamre, when she's selling the field that's worth 200. That's it. Her ksuba, so to say, is paid up. Now, she only got 100 for it, but that's her tough luck. She wasn't good. There, I say, she's totally gone from the estate, and therefore, the deal goes through. However, Abu Hocha, in the Sefer of the Mishnah, where it's a 400 ksuba, so the first time she sells it for 100, second time she sells it for 100, second time she sells it for 100, third time she sells it for 100, where I might have said, in this situation, we should make a gzeira that it shouldn't go through, like in the Reisha, nigzar mona rishon, not to mona achron. We should say, if we allow the first 100, the second 100, the third 100 to go through, so that we mistakenly may allow the fourth 100 one, which she sells for 100, to go through, so I might have thought we should make a gzeira. Ah! Rav Huna says that's the chiddush of the Sefer of the Mishnah, Kamash Balon. Even in that situation, the first three sales go through, even though she sold 101 for 100. So that's a perfectly good sale, even though the last one, the last 101 for 100, wouldn't be good. So there's a chiddush in the Reisha, in the Emtziusa, and in the Sefer, and that's how Rav Huna would learn our Mishnah. As I pointed out, the Barlu, this was the way they learned this in the Beis Medrash. The question was, if Reuven asked Shimon to sell him a lesser worth of his properties, and instead Shimon sold him an entire kor, two lessachs, so do we or do we not say that the first lessach is not returned, or we say no, the first lessach is in fact a returned item as well, if the original owner, Reuven, wants to get it back. So that's the Yibarlu, we had Rav Huna's Teretz, and that's where we're going to stop now. In tomorrow's year, we say, Yigad Yamre, that the original question wasn't on Reuven asking Shimon to sell him a kor, but we'll see, it's a different scenario, and with this we conclude today's year.